Good morning, everyone. It's always great to see you on a Sunday morning. Glad you're here for worship today. And I want to invite you to turn to Mark chapter 10. That's our text today. We're going to look at verses 32 through 34. And we're going to talk about how we can lead like Jesus. We're looking at his leadership today in this passage in Mark chapter 10, verses 32 through 34. I wonder, how would you respond if I could tell you when and how you were going to die? Imagine that perhaps next Tuesday I tell you that you're going to be traveling on the highway and making your way along, and an oncoming vehicle, the driver's going to be distracted, texting on their phone. They're going to swerve off of their lane into your lane and hit you head on, and you're going to die in a terrible accident next Tuesday. If you knew that prediction was true, what would you do? How would you live between now and next Tuesday? Would you be filled with fear? Would you have sadness washing over you, maybe even looking back at your life and thinking it's all coming to an end and now you have so much regret? What feelings would you have? Or would you be like me? I would make absolutely sure I was nowhere near a highway next Tuesday. I would be in the bottom of some basement somewhere, mattresses piled all around, waiting it out, hoping that nothing would happen to me. What would you do? In other words, would you avoid your predicted death, or would you go straight ahead toward it? Let me tell you what Jesus said and did in such a situation in Mark chapter 10. They were on the road going to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking ahead of them. The disciples were astonished, but those who followed him were afraid. Taking the 12 aside, he began to tell them the things that would happen to him. "See, we are going up to Jerusalem. The Son of Man will be handed over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death. Then they will hand him over to the Gentiles, and they will mock him, spit on him, flog him, and kill him, and he will rise after 3 days." Jesus, knowing that death was on his doorstep, still pressed toward it. He still went toward Jerusalem. As we think about leadership, there are so many things out there on leadership. You can go to any bookstore and you'll have shelves filled with leadership topics and those writings. Books on leadership principles, books on leadership in your home, in the office, and leadership at every form and fashion, all types of opinions, philosophies, and theories that are out there. You can get on the internet today and you can look for the rest of your life and never exhaust all the articles and blog posts and writings out there on the subject of leadership. A lot is said about leadership, but someone who will press on toward their death to accomplish a great and unimaginable goal is indeed a great leader. And I think most everyone in this room would agree today, Jesus is pretty much without debate the best leader of all time. He is the perfect leader, and his leadership changes eternity for us. He leads us all the way to eternal life. Now, I want you to think about your leadership today, because you are a leader in some form or fashion. For some of you, it's easily recognized because you hold a certain position in business or in the community, and you acknowledge readily that you are a leader. Some of you may not feel that way. You feel like maybe you don't have much stature in your job or in the community, and you don't think you're much of a leader. But all of us have a sphere of influence. All of us are influencers, and as a Christian, our leadership should be in the pattern of Jesus Christ. Not just the latest things we might find in a bookstore, the latest articles we read that inspire us online, but as a leader, we need to be certain that we are pointing people to Jesus Christ, because that's what leadership is all about. So is your life, your leadership, representing Jesus Christ in this world? You see, your life should be a shining light for Jesus. Your life should influence others in a way that helps them see the Lord. If you accomplish nothing else in your leadership but helping people to see Jesus and follow Jesus, you have been successful as a leader. If you lead a major company, or you lead in some civic organization, and you lead in all these great ways admired by the world, but you never point anyone to Jesus, you never help anyone find Jesus, you have completely failed in your leadership, because true leadership is following in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. Your life should influence others in a way that helps them see and know the Lord. Colossians 3:3 sums it up well. For you died, when you became a Christian, you died to yourself, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So as a born-again believer, a new person, your life is in the backdrop and Jesus is in the forefront. You are to live your life pointing others to Jesus in you. So this morning, what I want to do is point us to how we can be better leaders. We can learn from Jesus how to do that, to see how he pressed through fearful and confusing times, how he pressed forward when most people would have given up. And whether you're expressing leadership in the church or in the office, at work, or in your community, you can learn from Jesus how to be a better leader. In this short passage, we find some very important traits of godly leaders. Three words I want to give you today. First, we have to have courage. The first thing to leading like Jesus is having courage. Someone said this, "The world will usually forgive you for being blue, sometimes for being green, but never for being yellow. Never for being a person without courage." I think back in the Old Testament, the story of Joshua, as he was on the precipice of entering into the promised land, what did God tell Joshua? Be of good courage. Be courageous. Have courage in your heart. What is courage? Courage is faith in action. It's not just believing something, hoping it to be true. It's acting upon it in your life. Faith believes God, and courage acts on that faith. And we have to have courage to live the Christian life, don't we? We have to have courage to witness to someone and tell them about Jesus. It takes courage on a Sunday morning to give an offering and give your tithe. You're placing trust. You're being courageous to trust God with his provision. It takes courage to stand on the truth when it seems like no one else around you is standing for the things of God. It takes courage to stand for the truth. You know, it's true that everyone has some blue day when you may be down. And we all have some experiences that reveal our lack of knowledge, green days, so to speak, but we must never allow those yellow days, those days of cowardice, to be part of our lives as believers. But the truth is, most people lack courage because they have an unapplied faith. They have knowledge about the power of God. They have a mental understanding of the promises of God, but we have just sat back and lived on the banks of the Jordan too long without the courage to cross over to the other side. Our color is often yellow when it comes to following the Lord's leadership. But notice what Jesus does as the perfect leader. It says he was walking ahead of them in verse 32. Some translations say that he was leading the way to Jerusalem. To, in other words, the completion of God's plan. Although death was right there in his path, it was the path ahead of him, he pressed forward. He led others with courage, even at times of pain and panic and sacrifice. You know, there just aren't many Christians willing to follow Jesus that way, to follow him without regard to personal safety and comfort. I wonder today, do you have the courage to live your life for the glory of God, with no regard for what you get or how you benefit from it? That you just want to courageously follow Jesus, almost with reckless abandonment, no matter what it costs you, you're just going to follow Jesus Christ. It takes courage to do that. I think about the courage of a missionary many years ago, back in the 1950s. Many of you have heard his story, a guy by the name of Jim Elliot. Jim Elliot had a heart for an indigenous tribe that had never been reached, an unreached people group, deep into Ecuador. And Elliot and his companions were trying to find ways to connect with this tribe and try to convey that they were friendly, they wanted to help them, so they would fly by and they would drop out supplies and they would drop things to these indigenous tribal people. And they would try to build rapport with them that way. And eventually they encountered one of the tribal members, and they connected with that person and tried to communicate, and it seemed like things were headed in the right direction until one day Elliot and a few others made their way to that tribe, and 10 of the tribal members came out and massacred them, and they found Elliot's mutilated body downstream in the river where they had dumped him. And Elliot, in a few years prior, this happened in 1956 when he was killed. Back in 1949, before he made that journey to those tribal people in Ecuador, He gave what's now a famous quotation expressing his belief in the work he was called to do, the courage he had to follow Christ even in the midst of great sacrifice and the threat which he knew existed of losing his life. And his journal entry in October 1949 contains this now famous quotation. It says this: "He is no fool that gives up that which he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose." And that's the mindset we need as Christian people, that we'll be courageous and follow Christ no matter the cost, because there's nothing we could give up that would be so costly that it would be more important than following Jesus Christ. So Elliot, being courageous, today are we courageous? Are we willing to follow with such dedication and sacrifice like that? Now, being courageous in your leadership doesn't always mean you're going to march to your death. For you, it might mean taking a stand for what is right, having integrity and character in your workplace. It may be that you have to take a stand and be the minority viewpoint when the majority is going against the things of God. It may mean in your life that you have to make some difficult decisions that shock your family or go against the grain of what other people are telling you to do. It may mean that courage is expressed in sharing the gospel with your one. We've been talking about this over the past weeks, the who's your one focus we have. Last week, if you were here, you know we made these commitments on little ping pong balls. We wrote down the name or the initials of someone that God has placed on our heart that we need to share the gospel with. I want to challenge you today, if you were not here last week to participate, to go out this door at the end of the service, and there's a display there. There are markers, little ping pong balls. Take a white ping pong ball, put the name or the initial of someone, and put it in the display. And we're praying for those people, and we're looking for opportunities to share the gospel. But you know what that's going to take? It's going to take courage. It's going to take true Christ-centered leadership. Will you choose to be a leader today? It means you have to have courage in the face of critics, to be bold in the midst of the fearful. This is the third time that Jesus announces to his disciples that he's going to be crucified. There are two other occasions prior to this: Mark chapter 8, verse 31, chapter 9, verse 31, and now here in chapter 2, verse 32, Jesus three times tells them that he's going to be crucified. And we notice here the response of the disciples when they hear it this third time. Some were astonished, some were afraid. Verse 32, the disciples were astonished, but those who followed him were afraid. The disciples are stepping back and they're thinking, what are you doing? What are you talking about? You are saying you're going to die and you're still going that direction. That doesn't make sense. They were astonished. Others thought, you're going that way and you're taking us with you. This is scary. There's no way we're going to do this. We're very afraid of the situation. You see, it was very confusing because people, they wanted Jesus to make life better, not more difficult. They had all the difficulty they could stand with oppressive governments and the religious climate of that day. Jesus was the great liberator. He was the Messiah. He was coming to set everyone free, to make everything happy. Life was going to be great. This is going to be wonderful because Jesus, the Messiah, has come. But now this guy's going off the rails. Instead of setting up his kingship and ruling over us with great peace and prosperity and all the good things of life, he's talking about going to die. This doesn't make any sense. And people were astounded because it was crazy. And people were fearful because of what Jesus was talking about. But Jesus was courageous in the face of those who were against him or didn't understand or doubted his plan. He sought to honor the Father, and he was unwilling to cower down and just make things easier on himself. As a matter of fact, in Luke chapter 9, it says in that passage that Jesus set his face resolutely toward Jerusalem. He dialed in with his focus, Jerusalem, and he looked that direction without anything to distract him. He set his face, his mind, his heart on going to Jerusalem. Now, I suspect that living for Jesus is only going to get tougher and tougher for all of us gathered in this room. I don't think any of us would make the case today that it's going to be easier in 5 or 10 years to be a follower of Christ in our world today. Things are seemingly becoming more difficult, and we're going to have to be courageous in our faith. We're going to have to be willing to, in the face of opposition, still lead others into a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ, regardless of the consequences that we suffer. I wonder today, do you have the courage to to lead like Jesus, to go forward in the Lord's calling on your life, even when it's scary, even when it becomes difficult. You see, leading courageously is always going to cause you to step out of comfort zones, to do some difficult things, because changing the world takes that kind of leadership. No great work for God has ever been done with ease and complacent faith. It takes boldness to make an impact in the world. It takes courage to influence other people. It takes personal sacrifice to change the world and leave behind a legacy after you're gone. Courage means you may have to give more, you may have to do more, you are going to need to speak to someone about the Lord. You may have to begin discipling a group of people. You have to engage in the work that God has called you to do without fear and trepidation. Now, perhaps that's unsettling to you, or you're afraid of something you're facing right now and some struggle in your life, and you're going through some hardship and you're thinking, I can't be courageous. I'm fearful. I'm not able to press forward and be fearless in the face of the opposition I'm facing. Listen, Ephesians 6:10 reminds us to be strong and to do that in the Lord. In your power, you can't do it. In your strength, you're incapable. But with all the power of God, in the person of the Holy Spirit residing inside of you, you have the power to face any obstacle, any challenge that comes your way. You can make that sacrifice. You can stare that fear in the face because you know the power of God is at work in you. So be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power, not in your own sufficiency, not in your own capability. That's why 1 Corinthians 16 tells us, be courageous, be strong. Leadership that changes lives, leadership that makes a difference, leadership that's in the pattern of Jesus Christ requires courage. Number two, it takes communication. Communication. Now, we think a lot about communication today. There's so many forms of communication. We can have an old-fashioned conversation. You can call someone on the phone. You can text them, email them, instant message, social media, all the different things. It reminds me the other day, Sarah was scheduled to be in math class at school, but she had not completed her math assignment, which was due that period at school, so she just conveniently missed class that day, and she went home and got her school-provided laptop out and was working on the assignment that was due in class while everyone else was in class. She's at home doing her assignment. What she did not know is that the teacher had screen access to Sarah's computer and saw that Sarah was at home doing her assignment, sent an instant message, hey, hope your assignment's going well, the one that's due today. If you need any help, just let me know. Busted. It was fantastic. I loved it. Any good teacher communicates with the students. Jesus communicated with his followers, his students, his disciples. He clearly communicated with them. Jesus' future in Jerusalem was terrifying. He outlined it here. He described all the things that was going to happen to him. The people were blown away that he was going to his demise. They're astounded. They're fearful, it said there in verse 32. So Jesus pulls aside this inner circle and explains to them all that's going to pass. Verse 32, taking the 12 aside, he began to tell them the things that would happen to him. Although the Father's will was challenging and frightening, Jesus hoped to lead them past it to God's glorious reward. See, they were only seeing the immediate. They were only hearing the bad stuff. And Jesus sits them down and says, listen, all this stuff's going to happen, but don't lose sight. When you follow God, when you do what you're called to do, when you live with courage, great things are on the other side. And he points them to his resurrection from the dead. What would bring peace to their chaos? What would bring hope to their despair, confidence to their fear? It was hearing from Jesus the plan of God for their lives. He told them that there would be scary times where he would be beaten and flogged and spit upon and killed and all these different things. But 3 days later, he tells them, he would rise again. They were really fearful. Well, we know that today there are plenty of people around us who are living in fear. A world without Christ is a world that has an unsettled fear about them. They have no hope. They have no answers to all of life's dilemmas, and they have so much fear about the future. They worry about their families, their jobs, their health, a million other concerns and fears. This world is such a frightening place. If you want to be a leader who makes a real difference, communicate to this world the hope that is found in the Lord. Help people to discover the hope that only the Lord offers. So what it means to communicate as a leader is to go find hurt and pain and difficulty in this world and help people to know the scriptures, to know the hope you have in Christ. It's going to people and praying with those who are hurting. It's helping people to find that God has a plan in the midst of their struggle. That yes, your circumstance is scary now and everything is uncertain, everything's unclear, everything is so frightful, but on the other side of that, God has a plan. God is with you through this whole journey, and God has made a way even for eternal life. God will give you eternal life in heaven through believing on Jesus Christ. You see, leadership is not just inspiring people to work harder at your workplace. It's not just giving some pithy little statements that would fit on a poster with an eagle hanging in a conference room. It's not just having a wise little word to say that everybody's amazed at how intelligent you are and those kinds of things. Real leadership is communicating the things of God to other people. You see, the greatest act of leadership you can express is not inspiring workers to greater productivity. It's not helping people to partner together or to motivate them out of their discouragement. The greatest act of leadership you can express is telling someone the gospel of Jesus Christ. Leading someone to Jesus is the greatest act of leadership. That's why we have the Hoosier One emphasis. Because our mission as a church, as we stated, is to lead. It's to lead other people into a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. If you want to have a lasting legacy in your areas of influence, then communicate the things of God to others. Tell others about what the Lord has done in your life and what He can do in their lives. Jesus exhibits for us leadership that includes courage, it includes communication. But to lead like Jesus also means completion. See, it's not enough to have courage to follow God's plan, to practice communicating. It's successful, lasting leadership is realized through completing your faith journey, not giving up when things get tough. I can't tell you the number of people I've seen through the years who were strong for the Lord, who were living faithfully, who were sacrificing and doing all the things they were called to do. They were in church every Sunday. They were serving. They were ministering. All the things. But then life happened. Bad stuff popped up. And gradually and some quickly, they fell away. They didn't complete their journey. When we look at Jesus and His leadership, He didn't shun His responsibility in spite of its difficulty. Jesus was faithful to complete the mission the Father assigned to Him. So He went to Jerusalem. He went to the cross. He paid the price for our sins without any thought of backing down or turning away or doing things halfway. Jesus completed His life's task, and as a result, He left a life-changing, eternal legacy for all of us gathered today, a legacy that for us still provides salvation through our faith in Him. Jesus teaches us that leadership means not giving up, not falling short. It means completing the work God has assigned. I think about the Apostle Paul, who took up the same mantle, who lived for Christ to the very end, and his life His purpose is stated in Acts chapter 20, verse 24, that he considers his life, he says, of no value to myself. My purpose is to finish my course. To finish my course and the ministry I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of God's grace. He wanted to finish his course, to complete his task. Because of that, Paul left a lasting legacy. Ministers to us today. You know, there have been so many people who have completed their leadership task of influencing all of us for Christ. You think about the people in your life who made a difference and helped you to be the Christian you are today. parents and grandparents and Sunday school teachers and pastors and evangelists and all kind of folks who have poured into your life and made a difference. They invested in you. People who have gone before us who have invested in this ministry here at this church. These are people who did not give up, those who did not fail us. And today we enjoy the fruits of the legacy of those who have gone before us. Now we must ask, will we live to complete the task God has given to us? Because it's our turn to influence this world for Christ, to reach this community, and to disciple this faith community. We have to rise up as faithful leaders, people who lead like Jesus. We have to choose today, commit today, that no matter what happens, we commit to be people who persevere, who don't lose heart, who don't give up, who don't fall back, people who are committed to follow Christ until we finish the course, we finish the race, until life comes to an end. I commit that I will be a follower of Jesus Christ. We've been given the gospel, the story here, this task we have to complete. The story in verses 33 through 44, we have to do the work of telling people that the Son of Man was handed over to the chief priest and to the scribes, and they condemned him to death. Then they handed him over to the Gentiles, and they mocked him and spit on him and flogged him and killed him, and he rose after 3 days. This is the message of those who lead like Jesus, and they tell that message until the mission of their lives comes to an end when they draw their final breath. Today, will you be the leader you need to be, the leader the Lord wants you to be? Don't just know about the great things being done for God. Be a leader today. Be involved in the work of God. Stand with Jesus when no one else will stand with you. Rise up and live for the Lord courageously and minister the gospel to people who need to do it, and do it until the day you die.